Welcome to Innovation in the Burg, a podcast about innovation in St. Petersburg. If you're self-described science or technology geek, or even if you aren't, this will be a fun and informative conversation. I'm Allison Barlow, Executive Director of the St. Petersburg Innovation District. Each podcast, I'm joined by a local expert who will talk about what they're working on. But to make sure that we keep this in perspective and don't become too technical, we have a community member joining us. Our hope is that you learn something new and enjoy our conversation. Let me introduce today's guest. Our expert is Dr. Sandra Brahm. Dr. Brahm is the president and CEO of Gulf Coast Jewish Family and Community Services. She oversees the agency's programs, which support families in more than 35 Florida counties. Dr. Brahm brings more than 20 years of leadership experience in the not-for-profit sector. Before coming to Gulf Coast Jewish Family and Community Services, she served for 10 years as the CEO of the YWCA in El Paso del Norte region?
Del Norte.
Del Norte. I need to roll my R's. And our community member today is Tom Whitmer. Tom is the founder and CEO of Sage Legion. He's founded Sage Legion and designed the platform to enable strategic data and analytics management for enterprises. In 2019, he moved the company from San Francisco to St. Petersburg. He's been an instructor at the University of California, Davis in data mining and at Kaiser Permanente, where he managed the enterprise shared service analytics environment for over 150,000 information consumers. So this is going to be a fun conversation. Let me get started first and ask Sandra, can you tell us a little bit about your organization?
Yes. Gulf Coast Jewish Family and Community Services is among the largest Jewish family service agencies in the country. It was established in 1960, originally in Pinellas County, providing counseling and supportive services to Jewish families. In 1974, it was incorporated under its founding executive director. Once the rules around the state and the funding shifted and they privatized a number of programs, including behavioral health and child welfare, the agency began to delve into supporting families more broadly. One of the Jewish values is healing the world and repairing the world, tikkun olam. And so in looking at that, those values really led the agency to go beyond the Jewish community. And so today we serve a large majority of our clients are not Jewish, though we maintain a robust Jewish family services department, perhaps in excess of 95% of those we support, some 30,000 folks in 35 counties. Are not Jewish.
Oh, interesting. Part of what we wanted to delve into today was your partnership with Tom and his organization. Tell me a little bit about what it is, and then we'll ask Tom to say.
Well, we've been a leader in child welfare, providing support for foster children throughout the Tampa Bay region and helping to keep families together. And one of the challenges when kids are removed from the home and are placed in foster care, the parents have to go through some task and effort to basically prove that they can care for their child and that they're ready to receive them back. So we are also in the business of reuniting families and helping families to stay together and helping children stay safe at home. Unfortunately, there are instances when a child may be removed a second time from the home, and we want to prevent that. And so when I met Tom and he introduced me to his innovative platform, we began to brainstorm how we might work together and really began to probe around the question of, are there factors that contribute to children being removed from the home a second time?
So some indicators that you could see that might say, hey, this might be a situation we have to watch out for.
Exactly.
Interesting. So then you start to look at someone who's a IT expert and say, how do you apply that kind of question with technology? So talk a little bit of what interested you, Tom.
Sure. So first off, hats off to Gulf Coast and Sandra, because we just met at a conference. We were sitting next to each other and we just struck up a conversation and she said yes to trying this. So yay. Okay, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so nice when those things work out.
And this is a complex problem. I'm not the subject matter expert on this problem. What the platform does is it connects the subject matter experts, like from Gulf Coast, and who are experts in the data with complex solutioning, which is actually being delivered by the Tampa Bay Data Science Meetup of volunteers. So I'm volunteering the use of the platform and my services as a project manager to connect that community with an actual problem owner. I do want to shout out to Mike Tortora, who's the leader of the Tampa Bay Data Science Meetup. So there's about 35 people involved in either observing the problem, the structure of the problem, the data, and then there's probably 10 committed data scientists who are using a variety of tools. So that's what the platform does. The platform takes smart business people, lets them define problems in their own words, which Sandra just did, and we used a lot of that language in the problem setup. Then it can get real statistical, you know, it can get real complex, which is part of the issue that companies have or organizations have about how to leverage the data they have better or how to access talent, which they can't access. But you need all these kind of people. You need the subject matter experts. You need executive sponsorship. You need tool and data experts. And it takes a village. And so that's what's happening here. The project will take about 4 or 5 months to deliver. We're looking for a delivery in the first quarter. And we're real excited about it. Everybody jumped on board, and Sandra and her leadership team have committed a ton of resources here to get things ready. And then the data science meetup team has come together. So it's exactly how it can be, you know, in terms of, you know, complex solving in the community.
So let's break into it a little bit, because somebody listening may not know what we're really talking about. Mm-hmm. And so the idea, when you talk about a platform in a very simplistic way, it's almost like a whole bunch of people are on a website together. I know it's private and there's a lot of other probably things behind the scenes, but the idea is that they're exchanging information, they're looking at the data, they're having a chance to manipulate or kind of play with the data, for lack of a better term. And then that helps answer the question. And one of the things we were talking about, Tom, I've done a little bit of this kind of work before, and a lot of it is the data that you get, whether it's collected by hand or it's collected through other purposes, it's not ready for these questions sometimes.
Right.
And so what happens in those kinds of cases? Because that's a lot of what the data scientists have to do.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I blame this on Arnold Schwarzenegger and robots on TV, frankly. You know, it's just like, we'll press the button and it's all going to be
Thing.
And the reality of it is that the executives and the subject matter experts at Gulf Coast, they know what they're trying to do.
Right.
And then they have access, or they have their own information systems. And then they have questions. So they had a hypothesis about this. That's all business related things, you know, in their business. And they know that very well. So the platform, you know, we set that up in their words. And then they presented some data, which I analyzed before the meetup, actually. And we talked about it, you know, the strategy of this data is not going to be adequate for solving the prediction model that you're trying to create.
Right. So the data didn't match the question.
Right. Or the outcome that they wanted from analyzing the data. So they mustered a team, went back and gathered more. Okay. And this involved an information system that you guys have, which I don't know that much about. And also looking at manual case files.
Yeah.
And pulling data from case files. So they did an awesome job of that. And that's what we gave to the data science meetup. And Terry Bellette, the chief operating officer in Sanders organization, she sponsored and came to the meetup. And it was kind of funny, you know, seeing these two groups together. They were aggressive. Why can't you just do this? Why can't you just crank all this data? Because this is not the real world.
Yeah.
You know? So they started working on the problem with that data set. More questions get generated. And they went back. Her team went back, just delivered more data to the problem structure. And so the people that are on the teams, they have access to this problem structure and the data.
Yeah. So Sandra, in real world, data isn't what you want it to be, I'm sure.
Oh, gosh. Actually, in real life, it can be somewhat messy because you're taking language that has been put into, in many cases, a written format, a text sentence, you know, format to describe problems, to describe situations with children and families, be that behavior, be that, you know, removals, be that arrest records, be that drug use, whatever it is.
Right.
And you've got all of this data that is in sentence format that is being dumped into a database that goes to, you know, a funder of some sort. And it's basically stored there for safekeeping.
Right.
And there is no way, even though we may see patterns when we talk about children being removed again, we can say, well, you know, it seems like so many of these families are dealing with, you know, this thing, or opioid use is a big issue, or domestic violence is a big issue. And we're assuming that because those are the situations that jump out at us. Those are the things that make the news. you know, but that may not necessarily be.
Right.
And there's all kinds of things that you overlook, you know, and I think about doing this by hand years ago with another project. And it's that hidden data that you're not thinking of because that's not what makes the news. And you find a pattern or a trend and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, that's the one. And if we can somehow, when we hear this trigger, if we can do something to address that trigger, you know, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be successful if you have it, but we create a plan to address it. And in addressing it, we're able to prevent that reentry into the system. So it's cool, but it takes mining data and really a machine that is fast and that can go through thousands and thousands and hundreds and billions of words. Billions and billions.
Well, and there's little subtleties in the data. I was sharing with Tom before today's podcast, I worked on a big project, a big organization, and you would be surprised, but we had a simple problem of combining data about rooms, like a size of a building and the number of rooms in it. It was because one part of the organization measured the room on the interior of the wall, and the other organization included the width of the wall. Really simple thing, but it threw all the calculations off. And so you had to start with that and figure out what was your basis for this analysis and then figure it out. I think the other thing with data is so fascinating I hear about is the combination of things that you wouldn't suspect are data that can be informative. I've heard the conversation about water bills are a really good indicator of how many people are living in a home. So if you're looking at sort of the idea of couch surfing, individuals who are homeless but with a home because they're living with family and friends, there was a project that was being worked on a little bit and they were using water bills as one way to indicate that kind of ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a proxy.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen this kind of thing, yeah. Tom, in the past.
Well, I mean, just back to one topic that you guys were just hitting before. A lot of these systems that are created, they're created to do transaction processing, like document a case file or do an admission in a hospital. They're built for transaction processing of whatever that organization is doing. But the promise, you know, unless you've got a big data warehousing or big data lake information architecture, which, you know,
yeah, like, especially a nonprofit is going to look at you like, what?
Right. That's optimized for analytics. Then you're looking at that transaction data and you're trying to figure out something else from it and throwing all the data into a data lake so that you can analyze it. As you were talking about related to, you know, that's called unsupervised machine learning. And, you know, you don't know what the relationship of all these variables might be. And there are algorithms and tremendous innovation from cloud vendors now that are, you know, providing those very services because, you know, you're exactly right. You don't know. One of the other deliverables that we want to provide for Gulf Coast here is the main objective is to try to do a predictive model. However, we've asked the data scientists also to try to make some recommendations on an information architecture.
So how they might go about collecting data in the future or
how
organizing
to enhance
it.
Or put these recommendations into a business case or discuss it with funders or leadership over time into capital plans and stuff. If it really turns out that it's, you know, incredibly beneficial and it's a better way of treating cases and it saves money and, you know, if a business case can be created. So we're soliciting them as well for their recommendations as part of their work doing the predictive modeling.
That's really cool.
You know, we spend so much time, it seems like, doing things the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And government can certainly, you know, be a purveyor of that. Just, this is the way it's done. We collect this data, and this is how we report. These are the fields that we want. And it doesn't change much.
Right.
And we're being asked to address very complicated problems today with nonprofits and family dynamics. It is very complex. And it's this kind of innovative thinking and strategic thought, I guess, for lack of a better description, that really could lend itself to doing things differently, working with families differently. And that means collecting data differently.
Yeah.
Not in the way that it's always been done, but it's not cheap to do that type of thing. And certainly those tools have not necessarily been, they haven't been developed with nonprofits in mind and thinking about family dynamics. And so the opportunity to run Tom's model through this nonprofit complex lens, you know, as opposed to say a hospital or something like that is really cool.
Mm-hmm. I would share though that the, you know, first off, it's about an innovative attitude, which mm-hmm. is what these guys have.
Yeah.
I've worked at the big guys and I teach students who also work at other big guys. And so it is a complex issue that everyone is grappling with, you know, how to get more, how to do better for your customers with the data assets that you have and how to enrich those data assets for whatever you're trying to do in whatever business that you're in, whether that's financial services, manufacturing, or whatever. But sometimes, you know, people get stuck because there's a lot of hype, frankly, and there is a fountain of new capability that is being developed by cloud vendors primarily, but others, boutique analytic algorithm vendors. And it's, to me, which is why I started this company, it's a people opportunity and challenge, mm-hmm. is how do we get the right skills and the right teams together who can collaborate on these issues and use the data and the other technical resources, you know, to do that. That's a barrier.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do because, you know, everything has its own vocabulary. It's East meets West, you know, yeah. people trying to talk to each other. So this is not unique, just, you know, you guys are a large nonprofit, but it's not unique to big organizations or small organizations. It's a common initiative. People are just, some are moving faster than others. But that's what we see with the people we're talking to.
So what made you, Tom, say yes when you guys had that meetup and you met up with each other at the conference, you said? What caused you to say, hey, this
actually,
is something?
Actually, I asked her and she's the one. She's the one.
Oh, well, then tell me a little bit about that. Like, because you talk about the innovation mindset. And I think the two of you had that innovation mindset at that moment.
Well, I just moved here, you know, in the past year. And so I don't, you guys are my two BFFs now.
Well, good to meet you.
So, yeah, you know, this was a few months ago. The mayor of Tampa was speaking at a business mm-hmm. meeting. And we were sitting next to each other, behind each other. And so, you know, for me, I'm trying to demonstrate that there are better and new techniques for people to work together. And so I was looking for a victim. I mean,
a victim.
Anyway, and you know, believe it or not, I mean, most people just say no. They're not willing to try.
Well, they don't get it. Or they may not get it. Yeah, it's complex.
And they jumped on it. And not just, I mean, yes, Sandra, the CEO, said yes. But, you know, the team... I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm the project manager now, but I mean, I've been meeting with them, your team, mm-hmm. regularly. Like, they could do this themselves. You know, once people see their own problems in their own words and what the possibilities are, people are very sophisticated and they can do it. You know, maybe not tomorrow, but, you know, soon.
Yeah.
And so that's awesome. You know, that's the idea.
You know, what was interesting, the mayor, I was thinking about her law enforcement background, and I brought up at that luncheon meeting where she was speaking, I asked her the question about the older youth in foster care because we were having a heck of a time at that time with children who were being very disruptive to the system, et cetera, you know, with arrest records and, you know, trying to find accommodations for them overnight and when they were refusing to go to homes that they've been chosen to be placed at. So it was creating a complicated system. And Tom heard that question and just the concern in the voice, like, what are we going to do about this? And it was just like, well, you know, it's a problem. You know, we just kind of keep doing what we're doing and
right.
pray that, you know, government fixes it. And it's like, no, you know, what are we doing about this? You know, it's got to be something more than that.
So when he said, hey, I have an idea.
Yeah.
What was your reaction?
I was like, wow, that's just weird enough to be cool. That's just strange enough to work. Let's see what we can do together.
A lot of the world, I always say to people, let's try.
Yeah,
you know, let's try and see how it goes. Yeah. And I know when we do projects in the Innovation District, I always caveat, I'm like, this may just not work, but we're going to try. Because otherwise you don't know. You don't know
if it's going to get into it. Being open to new things. That's what happens.
I went to Israel this summer and came back, and I've been going over with my staff agency-wide these leadership lessons from Israel. And one of the first ones I say is, well, you might find that you can't walk on water, but floating ain't so bad. You know, so we visited the Sea of Galilee, and then we, you know, floated in, you know, the Dead Sea. And but there's a leadership lesson in that. And that is, you know, like they say, you shoot for the stars, you might land on the moon, but this is just cool enough and innovative enough, and we really should try. And it's going to move us forward, and we're going to learn something through the process. You know, whether we solve all of, you know, the state's problems in child welfare is a different story, you know.
When I've seen this, so my own prediction about what happens here is there'll be a result, and there will be a variety of a lot more questions. We are focused on trying to solve that direct problem, But I think hopefully it will open the eyes of a lot more questions and opportunities for what the reality of, you know, what's possible. You know, sometimes it's just like, you know, in creating and inventing new processes, and it's incredibly difficult. It's fatiguing. But sometimes you have these little breakthroughs and you're like, oh, okay, this is like here now. We could actually try this and we could do it and we could apply it to 15 other things that we're doing. That's the interesting thing for me.
And I think part of your project and innovative projects in general is you don't know all the answers when you go in.
Exactly.
I'll work on projects and people will ask me six questions. I'm like, well, that's great questions. Mm-hmm. And we'll figure those out in a month from now. Because if I stop to pause and try to figure it all out before we even start, you just won't.
You won't ever finish and you won't ever start completely.
Right. Well, so just one or two fast facts for you too. There's 1,000 openings, I count them about every month, for data scientists in Tampa Bay area, the Tampa Bay area. And there's 85,000 openings for data scientists nationally. Now, that's kind of a moniker for a lot of different skills that are needed to do this kind of work. So it's difficult work. It requires a lot of training. And it's in high, high demand because of the complexity in doing this kind of solving. And it's related to tools. It's related to statistics. It's related to math. It's related to a lot of things you have to bring together, including collaborating with people who really know their business. You know, what's different about this, frankly, than software development is that you have to understand that data in the context of the business. Mm-hmm. So that means you have to work with those people that have no idea what you're doing and you don't know what they're doing. And, you know, finding new ways to be together in a team to solve things. So that's the idea.
And I love that you mentioned that because we've been working on some projects where we had technologists at the table and we had business leaders. And you have to be curious about each other's world enough to kind of ask questions and get a basic understanding and then be willing to adapt your thinking to that. You know, I find the technologist might be really excited about a particular approach, but then once they talk to the business leader, they're like, oh, that's not going to work because that's not going to get us where we need to go. And vice versa, the business leader doesn't even know what's possible sometimes because they haven't figured out, you know, in their own head, they're kind of, I've got this problem. I don't even know if it's even possible to consider a solution.
Right.
So it's kind of neat how those things will go.
It's awesome.
So if somebody's curious to learn more about this project, what would be the best way for them to stay connected? Or is it something that you hope once you come finish up, you might share a little bit more about what happened?
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting question. It's like, we'll have an answer for you in another couple months.
That's perfect.
If somebody's interested in like really seeing the results, so the you can go to the meetup website and the Tampa Bay Data Science Meetup schedule is there. They meet once a month. Mm-hmm. And in the first quarter, we're going to bring the solutions back to Gulf Coast so that they can see what it is. Or they can email me directly at twhitmer@sagelegion.com. That's fine. But the real interesting part here is these guys delivering their solutions and talking it through with the execs and leadership at Gulf Coast about this is what we found, this is what we know now, this is what could happen. That dialogue is going to hopefully happen in the Q1. And, you know, we have some really nice commitments from, you know, professional data science practitioners in the area who are working on it. There's other people in the meetup that are also students or, you know, younger people in their career. And they're monitoring, they're watching, they're trying to learn, or they're maybe they're not even in the field. But there's some hardcore practitioners, and they're committed to doing some things here. And so we're going to see what happens.
I think there's a great opportunity for a neat journal article or some professional presentation at a national meeting of some sort as well.
I think just learning from this experience, whether the data ends up answering the question, but how the process was, is also really great information for a nonprofit or another organization, a for-profit company who's contemplating a question. And this is how they, as a demonstration, how they could go about it. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. Now, Sandra, if anybody wants to know more about what you do in Gulf Coast, where should they go?
Well, first, it's easy to get to our website. You could either search Gulf Coast JFCS for Gulf Coast Jewish Family and Community Services or just gcjfcs.org.
Excellent. And Tom, if people are interested in your business?
www.sagelegion.com.
Excellent.
And I'm twhitmer@sagelegion.com.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank our guests for joining us today. Is there anything that I've missed that you want to mention?
Glad to be in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, especially right now without the winter up there. So thanks to everybody for listening. Check out stpeteinnovationdistrict.com for information about upcoming events and to subscribe to our newsletter. Have a great day.